I teach at Augsburg College. I spent some 8 years in Nigeria in the course of my teaching career, teaching in a theological college there. And other than that, I've been mostly at Augsburg. At the same time, I say I'm mostly from Minneapolis because I have sabbatical leave this year, and my wife and I will be living in Seattle, so we'll be much closer to Holden than in our usual place. And we're looking forward to exploring the upper northwest area. Now, today, we're gathered here to talk about this word, spirituality. My title is, Why is Everyone Speaking About Spirituality, and What Is It? And if you're hoping to come back after this hour with one clear answer to each of those questions, you're going to be disappointed. We're going to be looking at some multiple answers, though I will indeed give you some of my answers to those questions. They are indeed controversial questions, and ones on which we may differ. I am going to ask you to participate in this hour and not simply listen to me talk. And I'm even going to ask you to talk with one another a little bit. And to start out, I'm even going to do that right near the beginning here by asking you to get in a group of two or three people around you and talk about this question. Where have I heard this word spirituality? In what contexts or from what media? Or where have I discussed it, or where have I heard the word, and how have I heard it used? I'd like to ask you to do that for about 3 or 4 minutes. You could begin by just introducing yourself and say, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so, and get acquainted a little bit, and then raise the question, where have I heard this term spirituality used? In what contexts and with what meanings? All right, go ahead. We can get these last points made. I hope that talking with one another has helped to stimulate your own thinking about it and the occasions in which you've heard this word. I've counted them. There are 6 syllables in this word, spirituality. It's a very clumsy word. And I suppose that 50 years ago, if I had asked you, where have you heard this word, most of you would say, I don't think I've heard it before. So it's in the last several decades that this term has become common coinage for us in the United States. So I'd like to hear from you now. What are some of the contexts or media in which you have heard this term, spirituality? And I'll write them down.
The Alvin Institute has even some seminars on the subject of spirituality.
Okay, the Alvin Institute, Yes.
In a negative sense, in today's American Indian communities where they see spirituality as a threat that steals, that abuses and abuses sacred places and things. And spirituality in that sense is a negative.
Okay. However, the same group could use it positively and does at my college, where there's a course in American Indian spirituality and philosophical thought. Notice how the words religion or theology are missing from that course title. So it could be either an abuse by some, or it could be used by them themselves to describe their own practice. Yes?
I found a lot of my friends that have been alienated from their childhood religions are able to address the issue of God through the word spirituality.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You hear it more and more, I think, or the word spiritual or spirituality in even in commercials on television, that they're starting to use it more, I think.
Can you think of any examples? I'm interested in that. I haven't heard that one yet. Has anybody else heard? Can you think of a specific?
I don't think I can give you an example.
Anybody?
Spirit is in a Nike commercial.
Yes, the word spirit is surely there. That's right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Oh, maybe I'm stretching it.
Okay, where else have you heard the term?
Church.
You heard it in church. Not everybody has heard it in church. What context in church?
Oh, we have lots of different groups. Like we have a reading group where we do a lot of reading of books that would enhance your spirituality and discussion.
Okay.
I'm a Stephen minister.
And oh, yes.
We do a lot of renewing our own spirituality and strengthening what we are doing.
Right.
And we have a forum that's very good at bringing spiritual issues.
All right, any others that haven't been mentioned yet? Yes.
Well, I think in the print media, it's a, sort of an unoffensive way to talk about God, and unoffensive, you're not going to offend different religions, and you can bring some New Age people into this. It's a, sort of an all-inclusive word.
And what print media have you seen the term spirituality? Not only you, but anybody know?
Like Time Magazine.
Any other print media that you've heard of? Let's stick with print for the moment.
I saw an article in the Seattle newspaper that was about spirituality in the workplace.
The Lutheran magazine.
Yeah, the Episcopalian magazines have it too. The local, at least for the Diocese of Olympia.
The women of the ELCA put out a very wonderful blue book magazine.
Like a magazine did an article on astrology and the word spirituality.
And books.
Okay, now these are all magazines and newspapers. What about books?
Lots. A whole section of New Age and self-help and all those kind of books. There's a lot of things addressing spirituality.
And sometimes Christian ones too, yes?
Matthew Fox writes about creation spirituality.
Right, okay. Yes?
Record shops, where, you know, I didn't say records anymore, but CDs and cassettes, they're dealing with the music that is.
One of the best sellers a few years ago was Gregorian chants. Yes.
On that side, you should put classes, college. You mentioned it, but didn't write it down. That's where I heard it.
I teach one myself. Yes.
I've heard it in connection with like, New Age religious groups. There's a center opening up for study of Rompa east of us that has spirituality in its title, I believe.
Sometimes I see ads for Ekankar that contain the word spirituality in them.
It's used in 12-step programs.
Yes.
There's this whole business about going on retreats and dealing with spiritual directors and all those kinds of things.
Okay. Which has entered our consciousness in among Protestants much more strongly lately. In other words, spiritual direction and going on spiritual retreats as opposed to church workshops disguised as retreats is
something that we have learned from our Roman Catholic friends. Yes.
Some of the scientific, medical, psychological community have begun to lower their resistance and denial and use spirituality as something that they have to acknowledge is happening in people's experience.
Good point.
And healing it as a whole. Yeah. Medicine and healing.
Oh, yeah.
I teach a course about that too, and it seems to be very closely related. Yes. Yes.
I use it personally all the time it describes my it talks about my relationship with my God. In terms, I use spirituality rather than religion, which is very limiting to me. So I refer to it pretty well, and that has to do with my relationship with God.
Okay. So, this term has become common coin among us. Go ahead.
I was going to say, some people in my church have a spiritual advisor, and they happen to be Roman Catholic. The advisors aren't Roman Catholic, but they are open to advising anyone on spiritual matters.
Uh-huh. My most recent spiritual director is a Roman Catholic, too. Yes.
And on the news.
In the news.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
On the TV and the radio.
And the TV and radio news. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
My thesis would be that the commonness of the use of this term on one level can be attributed to three main sources. And I'm open to your reflection about this. But tentatively, my conclusion is that spirituality has come into our language from three sources. The first is the Roman Catholic Church, who has been using it all through the century, but particularly after World War II. The term spirituality was used in previous centuries, but in different meanings than we use it today. And it was the Roman Catholic theologians who developed what they called spiritual theology by combining two previous fields that were called ascetical theology and mystical theology. They put those two together and came out with spiritual theology because the other one tended to identify mystics and the elite of the spiritual life from common ordinary people. And so to combine them, they made spiritual theology and they talked about spirituality. However, that use was largely limited, as far as I can remember, to Roman Catholic theologians and Roman Catholic faithful, perhaps until after Vatican Council II or so. We can say that's a rough dividing line. Protestants have been very slow to adopt the term spirituality and have been dragged kicking and screaming into using it, at least some have been. And there are a number of Lutheran theologians today who still will not use that term and loathe the term. Now they have reasons for loathing it, and we may get to that. But for the moment, let me just say that one of the sources, and indeed probably the oldest source of the term, is the Roman Catholic Church. The second source I would mention is 12-step recovery groups, starting with AA in the 1930s and then expanding after in the 60s, 70s, 80s into hundreds of self-help groups, all based on the 12 steps. The term spirituality there is used a bit like you were talking about a minute ago. One of the edges of that definition of spirituality is that it is not religion. And the reason it is not religion is that many alcoholics and others have found themselves rejected or not accepted, at least within churches, that if the Christian founders of the AA had spoken in terms of religion, they would have immediately sent away 90% of their potential clients or help people they could help. And so they chose to use the term spirituality as a contrast term to religion. And of course, that was not the case within Roman Catholic usage, but it was definitely part of 12-step usage. And then the third source would be New Age movement, who again, as a sort of countercultural movement, prefers not to identify itself with any, quote, institutional religion. And so is more free floating, and you are given the responsibility to think and explore for yourself in New Age. And that sort of spirit doesn't go well with headquarters and bureaucracies and creeds and sometimes even scriptures. But that movement also has been an important source of the term spirituality. Now, each of these three has somewhat of a different perspective on the meaning of the term spirituality. And so I'd like to ask you to think about that with me. What does the term mean? And instead of asking you to go into small groups this time, I'll just ask you to respond individually. How do you understand the term spirituality? I wonder if I can turn this over.
This one here, you need strong hand to turn it on the right.
Take all my skin off, I'm afraid. I think I'll go up to the whiteboard then.
Physically turn it around.
Could you turn it around?
Could you? Thanks for your help. Very good. Now, there are a number of ways of describing the meaning of spirituality, and I'm going to give you my thoughts about it in a few minutes, but I'd just like to hear what you think about it. And as I say, this is one of those terms that means whatever the person using it wants it to mean. It's a very flexible term. Please come sit up here if you care to. Thank you. It's a very flexible term. It's like the term lifestyle, which has similarly become popular. It means whatever you want it to mean. But I'm presuming that many of you have thought about this term a lot. And we've already heard a little bit about this, but let's hear more about it. What do you think the term means? Yes.
Not material. A negative view, find out. Also not immaterial. That's a good one. That shows what's not
suddenly
material is important.
We're suddenly into Zen here.
Okay, that's another good one.
Yes.
I would use the word integration. Integrating my whole self in some way in terms of God's will for my life. Not some big department of my life, but reintegrating my whole life and what God's will is for my life.
Okay, somebody else. Yes.
Awareness or relationship of spiritual reality.
Yes?
I like the word ambivalent because very personally, I feel that it's something that I'm lacking, but so much of it seems so bizarre and weird that I'm kind of, it's like a approach avoidance conflict. I'm kind of ambivalent about it.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yes?
Dynamic process of
relationship with God.
Yes.
I kind of think of it as how we relate to the part of the Godhead that's the Holy Spirit, and how we connect with the Holy Spirit in our lives.
Yes.
I kind of think of it as something from the heart. It's not just an intellectual thing, but it's like from your soul or from your heart.
Higher level of aliveness.
Yes.
I think of an attitude, kind of a pro-spiritual attitude. A pro-spirit or something, anyway, yeah.
Okay. Anybody else like to pitch in on this definition of what spirituality means to you?
Connectedness to God.
There he is. Good.
This might relate to not material, and I tend to see spirituality as opposed to a reasoned out response to something. And maybe it's because it's when you talk about spirituality, you're often in a defense position if somebody does not see it as important. So you think of it as not as much a part of the reason, you know, universe, I guess, of science, maybe. Uh-huh.
Okay. All right, these are very nice thoughts. Thank you for them. I think we'll all be enriched by the way in which you've expressed that. I'd like to say a little bit about what I think spirituality is now, and invite again you to continue the discussion about it. And then we'll come back to the question of why everyone is speaking about spirituality. I like to make some distinctions when talking about this. There is spirituality in general. And this applies to anybody. There are particular types of spirituality or styles of spirituality. I like the term style. And here you speak of spirituality in the plural. And this is the way I am most comfortable speaking about spirituality, not as a degree of spiritualness. Like you're 86 and you're 97 and you're 42. I don't like that way of talking, as if spirituality and humidity were the same kind of word. There are many spiritualities in the world. There are many Christian spiritualities. It's the Catholics who began to speak about Jesuit spirituality, Augustinian spirituality. All the different orders have their own flavor or style of living following the Master. But beyond that, we have to make a distinction between those spiritualities which start out within the Christian tradition and those who do not. That is to say, I'd like to assert that every spirituality has a theology related to it. Even if that spirituality doesn't tell you so, it has convictions about what is real, about who is a human being, about what is this mysterious dimension of life that we call spiritual. There is a mystery out there. We human beings
have tried to relate to that mystery in many ways, and we've conceptualized it in many ways. One of those ways, broadly speaking, is a Christian way. Now, Christians are rather explicit compared to New Age or 12-step groups about their theology. They may disagree, but it's right out there in your face, the disagreement and the assertions. So, you have the creeds, you have the theologians, you have the scriptures. They're all there making assertions about who is God, who is a human being, what is the role of Jesus, and these other questions. So, if you start from different views of reality, you will have different kinds of spirituality. Now, one category of spiritualities would be those related to world religions. So you would have Jewish spirituality, Muslim spirituality, Hindu spirituality, and so on, associated each of them with a particular religion. And then you have other spiritualities that do not have their home base within a major religion. And those, the two most common ones that come to mind are the two we've already mentioned, New Age and 12-step spirituality. If you are operating within the Christian tradition, then you need to convince two groups of people that this is possible. On the one hand, you have the Christians who say, spirituality, bad. And on the other hand, you have the non-Christians who say, Christianity has nothing to do with spirituality. Christianity is a religion, and a religion is not spiritual. A religion is all those committees and money and buildings. That has nothing to do with spirituality from that point of view. So I, who speak about Christian spirituality, since I have been mostly influenced from the Roman Catholic usage of the term, I say, yes, there is something called Christian spirituality. It's not an oxymoron. Because among its various aspects, Christianity includes a tradition of spirituality, of people relating. So, having said that much now, let me say that I like to say these days that spirituality involves, and this is not meant to be limiting, but to indicate something, is spirituality involves experiences. It involves relationships. And it involves habits or disciplines. In the first place, spirituality is not a conclusion of a reasoned argument. And that goes along with what was said over here several times. Spirituality is lived. It isn't just thought about. But it is also a way of trying to be integrative, as I think you said earlier. One approach to the question, why is the word being used now, is what is the need for such a word? What is it in our vocabulary that was missing before that we're trying to name with this term? And I think one of those things is a holistic sense of life, trying to put things all together. So from a Christian point of view, we would not want to say that Christian spirituality is at least anti-material, because we believe in the creation, the incarnation, and the resurrection of the body, all of which teachings among Christians affirm the goodness of the physical. And therefore, the experiences, which for in Christian spirituality, would not at least exclusively be experiences of soul out of body experiences, but they could be very bodily experiences. Taking a shower, going on a hike, having a stomach ache. In other words, there's no limit to the range of kinds of experience that would be relevant for spirituality. We immediately think of those experiences in which we encounter the divine as spiritual. But we're pushed by Christian theology to take the material very seriously. Okay, secondly, spirituality is about relationships. In my book, Thirsty for God, which is going around here somewhere, I started it out, please have a look and then pass it along so everyone gets a chance to look at it. There are many copies up in the bookstore, and my more complete answer to the questions we're asking today is found there, written. And of course, I'd be delighted if you buy a copy. I'll be talking about it again in my subsequent talks. It's a little book that other people have appreciated, and let me tell you, while I'm talking about it, the best book review I ever heard about my book, my favorite book review, occurred while I was taking a shower with a friend who goes to a Presbyterian church where they use this book for a six-week study. They read a couple chapters each time and talked about it, you know. So he said, in the first two chapters, you invite us to get our feet wet. In the next four chapters, you show us that this is way over our heads. And in the last two chapters, you show that we can swim anyhow. Isn't that a beautiful comment? I don't know if the book really does that, but he was... This book incorporates some of my convictions, and among them is that spirituality is basically four relationships, and two of them I found in my own background have been rather neglected, and two of them more strongly emphasized. The relationship to God, the relationship to ourselves, the relationship to other people, and the relationship to the created order. As I grew up in the church, my relationship to God and to other people were very strongly emphasized to me. But I think I got some wrong signals about how I relate to myself. I think that though no one ever said it out loud, the implication was that Jesus had taught, love your neighbor as you hate yourself. Something like that. And of course, the fourth one, the relationship to the created order, has only been coming to our consciousness strongly in the Christian tradition since we've started to destroy the earth, since we've had the ability to do that with our car engines and other nice devices that we have. You do have resources in the tradition, but it's only in the last few decades that we've really taken this very seriously as part of our Christian spirituality. So I think that at least those four relationships are fundamental. And again, what I'm attempting to do by naming them so is to be holistic. Most people usually think of spirituality as my relation to God. And that's true enough. But it's a bit like the field of theology, which is the study of God, but then it's a study of everything else in relation to God. So it's hard to exclude anything, including economics or sociology or psychology or any other discipline, from relevance to, even though the details or the approach of the various disciplines is distinctive and not, you wouldn't call them spirituality in themselves. And finally, spirituality has to do with habits or disciplines, what you do every morning when you get up, what you do every night when you go to bed, how you eat, when you eat, and when you exercise or not exercise, and so on. fundamental disciplines for Christian spirituality are prayer and meditation and journaling and going on retreats and spiritual direction. And I've been thinking too about parenthood as a spiritual discipline. I've been learning lately, I'm 56 now. My children are just college age, above and below. And I've been learning that you don't finish with parenthood. So at least two stages of parenthood are: one, the sacrifices you make for your children when they're small, and all the things that you can't do because you give them your attention, and you give them your time, and you give them your financial resources, of course. But once you've done that for a number of years, then the next discipline is letting go. And that's also a serious discipline. Not necessarily easier than the first one. And maybe there are more stages to come. Some of you could maybe speak about that in parenthood. But parenthood then is a sort of spiritual discipline in itself. So I'm not attempting here to name all the habits or spiritual disciplines, but just to give you a few suggestions about what's involved. Now, let me come back. Yes, go ahead.
Well, this is probably not what we want to talk about here, but I think in terms of for completeness that it's important in my thinking, is the whole dark side of spirituality, and demons and powers and principalities and issues about, a lot of the New Age people would put power under experiences, relationships and habits and power, and other kinds of astral travel and issues about manipulation of objects and psychic phenomena and power over others and spells. I mean, it just, occult. So spirituality encompasses a huge realm, and we in Christians kind of want to keep our tunnel vision a little bit to really focus on God, as I do as well, but an awareness that those other issues are equally real if we choose to look at spirituality in its fullness can sometimes help us also recognize how spirituality within us has a dark and light side, and help us not deny it and therefore act it out.
Thank you for that. I'd like to respond, and then I invite everybody to respond. My response would be, I think that we in the West, our spirituality has been narrowed by the Enlightenment of the 1700s, which said that individual reason should be the criterion for all truth. And the fallout from that is that most of us in the West don't care to think about the dark side. We have cleansed our universe of all the spiritual powers except God, we think so. Now, in the Bible, there are angels and demons, and there are ways of disposing of them, as Bultmann did. But they don't fit very well into the way we normally think day by day. But they're there, so we get reminded of them at Christmas, for example, and other times of the year. Most of the rest of the world hasn't gone through the both benefits and the downsides of the Enlightenment. And their universe is much more colorful and various than ours. And so, traditionally, Africans, for example, or the group I know the best, considering the major groups in the world, would have a very colorful universe. And Westerners who tend not to believe very much in intercessory prayer, not believe in miracles, not believe in angels or demons, we come with a rather pallid form of Christianity compared to that which is practiced by Africans themselves. We think a lot about our Christianity. We read a lot. We're real good at that. But what we tend to do then is to make Christianity a classroom religion. And so I think that you're onto something here, very important. And that the New Age and other movements who take the complexity of the spiritual world seriously are speaking to something that the Enlightenment doesn't know how to deal with. So anyhow, it's open. Here, go ahead.
Well, just to follow up on what you're saying, you're talking about four relationships and how you think we're taught quite a bit about the relationship to God. I'd argue that we've got the same limitation from the Enlightenment in that area. You know, that we grow up learning about God the Father, and we grow up learning about Jesus and call ourselves Christians. But if you look at other, like the Orthodox Church, where the Spirit and the relationship to the Spirit is so much a central focus of worship and theology and understanding of what this means compared to what we grow up with, I think we've kind of given up the Spirit as part of getting back to something more rational. And you know, Jesus said that it was good for us that he was leaving because he was giving us the Spirit, and we haven't really taken that gift and embraced it. So I think that's probably not one of the most complete parts of my learning, but one of the most lacking.
Mm-hmm. Thanks for that. Other comments about this on the same line, perhaps, or?
Well, I'd like to add to the supernatural power also our own dark side, which deepens our own, in my understanding, my sense of our own spiritual life, and makes us more aware of all of the other aspects of what is defined as spirituality here. And that in my upbringing, in the Lutheran tradition, I have felt at times that there's been an overemphasis on original sin as individual and as self-deprecating. And there's a lack of honesty involved in that in terms of investigation of your own shadow side, because from my experience in literature, what occurs is the experience of your humanity and your vulnerability, which is your shadow side, and that is what makes you forgiven and able to live in the resurrection, as opposed to the law of trying to be good, is that you are really saved from your vulnerability, not because you're no longer vulnerable, but because your vulnerability is what allows you to be saved. Does that make sense? I mean, somehow I'm afraid I'm confusing the issue, but I'm trying. I mean, we're so afraid to be caught doing something wrong or being bad or exposed in terms of the things that we consider dark about ourselves, that we are so often even afraid to know ourselves because of that. And actually, the resurrection is what allows us to be bad, in a way, you know.
You're talking about sin boldly, in a sense?
Yeah, yeah. I'm also saying, though, that I've had to struggle with that. I feel like I've had to struggle with that in my own development, that dark side. The definition of that dark side in my own mind has been
an issue for me.
Yes. I'm sure it is for all Lutherans, at least, and probably for Catholics, too. Maybe others. We have Garrison Keillor to remind us all the time of what we're supposed to be as Lutherans. I'm not sure he's got it right, but...
Well, since he's not one, he probably is closer to being right than
Now, here's what I... This question. If this is a sort of generic description of spirituality that I've given you here, what makes Christian spirituality Christian? And what would make a Lutheran spirituality? That is to say, I don't think that Lutheranism is a spirituality. I think that Lutherans can have a variety of Christian spiritualities. But if we start from the insight that you touched on briefly, if we start from the idea that we are unconditionally justified by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, how does that affect the way spirituality looks?
I don't have to climb Jacob's ladder. I don't have to use spirituality as a form of perfecting myself to get better and better with God.
Exactly. And this is the objection, where I'm coming back to my earlier comment now, about Lutheran theologians who wouldn't touch the term spirituality with a 10-foot pole. And the reason is just that. For them, built into spirituality is the concept that I make myself acceptable to God by doing these habits. If I pray a lot, if I meditate a lot, if I journal a lot, if I do the whole schmear, in order to make myself acceptable to God, then I'm still under the law, to use Paul's term. But then that raises the question, if we are fully acceptable to God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, then what's the use of any of this?
We don't perceive ourselves that way. And our perception is that we are indeed, as I see it, without sin. But we don't perceive ourselves that way. We have not reached perfection in our minds. So it's more becoming aware of our oneness with God, rather than getting rid of. It's just an awareness of it that I'm working toward, getting rid of my blocks to my awareness of my oneness with God.
And that goes along with this dynamic process comment we had earlier, that we may believe in justification by grace through faith, but we are a story, our lives are a story, and that has to be somehow important, not just the concept, the doctrine, but this has to be lived out somehow. Someone over here had their hand up. Yes.
Yeah, I guess it kind of gets into the dynamic process and the fact that, I guess, true spirituality for a Christian would be oneness with God, which we can't achieve. And so it's more of a continuum of a relationship. It's almost like you're going around in a dance and you get close at times and you get a little further away. And because of our imperfections, we can't be right with Him. We can't be close. We can't be really close to Him, but at times you get closer. I would think the closeness would be what is true spirituality, as you're sort of achieving that at times. But we're not capable of doing that.
It's a gift. Yes.
Well, I agree too that it's relational. That if you do these habits not to earn anything, or not to earn your way to salvation, but you do them to develop a better relationship with God and with the other people, actually, by doing that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, in the back.
I think with spirituality, you get a sense of, like, well, this is going to help me get through stuff. Like, if I come on really hard times, like the depression was, I can count on God to be there. That's kind of what spirituality is to me.
Uh-huh. So it gives you resources for the challenges that you're going to face. Mm-hmm. Now, yes, go ahead.
Going back to his saying, I don't have to climb Jacob's ladder, and all this is by grace and a gift, I started to think about pietism and the relationship. I think people, some people tend to confuse pietism with spirituality, and I'm not sure exactly how would you define spirituality as being different from pietism?
Pietism is a particular movement in the Lutheran and Reformed churches, which is a style. It is a spirituality, and it has strengths and it has weaknesses. It was a renewal movement in the 1600s that was very much needed in the Lutheran Church in Germany, and it involved, among other things, getting ordinary people reading the Bible and meeting together to pray. It suggested that Christianity was not just a doctrine, but a life. And all of these things, I think all of us would agree with today. And so in some sense, the original proposal for church renewal that pietism represented has succeeded in the sense that we all think it's a good idea to have midweek Bible studies in the church, and that the preacher should speak to people's lives where they are, not try to impress them with his learning, his Latin quotations, and his refutation of all the other denominations. These were the sorts of things that were happening when pietism began. And Spener, who was the founder of the movement, said, wait a minute, the sermon is not the place to condemn the Calvinists over this or condemn the Catholics over that. It's a place for edification. It's for growing in the Christian faith. The problems of pietism grew when the people who attended the midweek Bible study started to think they were better than the other people. And also when they took the Christian life to be all of life and not just doctrine, they started to become legalists about it and say no, 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 and no. And so that's the dark side, if we could use that term, of pietism. And the Lutherans who grew up in that tradition, as I did, have to be able to hold on to the justification side and not slip into the legalist side. At the same time, appreciating the strengths of that particular strand of Lutheran tradition alongside of others. So I'm sorry if I've given you too long an answer, but spirituality for me would be the whole range of types, and pietism, historically, you'll find a little bit in the book about it there, is one particular historical manifestation of a kind of Christian spirituality.
You know, one question I have that may be relevant for later sessions, and particularly here at Holden, as you talk about relationships and relationships with the created order, and creation spirituality is a major theme here. From ancient history and tradition, there was animism and paganism and endowments of spirit in the rocks and the mountains and the volcanoes and the trees, and a certain very deep and intimate creation spirituality in these people that we would now consider animists or pagans. It sounds like we're now wanting to reappropriate those areas and kind of incorporate it into our own wholeness of spirituality. And so I just have questions in my mind, even though I like that concept, about are there lines to draw there in terms of what is appropriate to Christian spirituality, and where do we stretch it beyond its bonds?
In the case of Matthew Fox, the Roman Catholic Church has drawn a line. And he is no longer a Roman Catholic priest or a Dominican as he was earlier. They drew the line when he said that the redemption line of spirituality could not be compatible with the creation line of spirituality. and the redemption line had to be discarded. The things running through Augustine, Luther, Calvin, which were very much concerned with justification and sin and original sin and those sorts of issues, he saw as extraneous. So he wanted to keep, as it were, the first article and throw away the second article. And the Catholic Church drew a line there. And they said no. So for those of us who want both the creation line and the redemption line, the question then becomes, how do we hold them together? And that's an excellent question that, you know, it's a big question. It isn't solved in 5 minutes. Yes?
I think I need the habits part, not for anything in particular except to love myself by doing them. When you said hate your neighbor, I mean love your neighbor as you hate yourself, it really resonated with me. I had a kind of a mental breakdown when I went through a divorce and realized when I came to that passage that in fact I did hate myself and that there is no way that you can love another person if you hate yourself. You can't do it because you don't know how. So you have to do some things, and just by habit, going through bodily things like reading the scripture and praying, you get into the habit of making the connection all the time, a spirituality within yourself. I mean, when I think of spirituality, I think of somebody like Mother Teresa, you know. I mean, there is a spiritual person who has a spirituality that covers the earth. It's wonderful, but I'm sure that she does not hate herself. And so by doing these things over and over, I think we grow.
Very good. And they are self-affirming. We need to make that distinction between egoism, selfishness on the one hand, mm-hmm. and loving yourself on the other hand. Which is not often made, or it's sometimes made. I want to recommend to you all a little book by Walter Trobisch. That name may be familiar to a few of you. Walter Trobisch wrote a little book called Love Yourself, from a Christian point of view. It's not a psychological self-help book. It's very much based in Scripture. Now, our time is up. And I thank you very much for the discussion. I've enjoyed it. I hope you have.
Yes.
And I invite you back for further discussions of more detailed aspects about spirituality later in the week. And someone made a comment that made me want to say to you, whoever it was, please come back for the one on Julian of Norwich. I think that's the next one I do on Thursday at 6:20. She has a deep wrestling with the concept of original sin and of the problem of evil and of how we can live with them. She's the one who wrote, "All shall be well, and every manner of things shall be well." So, thank you for today.